I'm on. That's awesome. Praise God.
That's good too.
That's good too, man. I got connected to the power, guys. That's great, huh? Wow. God is so good, so faithful this morning, and we just welcome you again. You know, religion has abused people. Religion will abuse you. It will really abuse you. Many people have been abused by religion. God does not want you to be abused in religion. He wants you to be used by Jesus. Amen. In a relationship with God. But, you know, so many people have such a ill understanding or a concept of God that they've just almost drawn away from Him. You know, people have been abused in churches by religion. People have been abused by pastors because of religion. True. You know, pastoring is not an easy thing. In fact, there was a young man asked me yesterday. He's called. He's getting ready to accept the church. And he said, can you give me any advice? Any advice? You know, any advice? Would you give me some advice? I'm getting ready to accept this church, and Pastor, I want some advice. And I said, here's my advice. If you can do anything else, do it. If you can do anything else, please go and do that. Because pastoring can be very difficult at times, especially if a pastor has a heart for people, because you love people. You should never be in the pastoral ministry if you don't care and love people. Right? I mean, that's the whole point. You love people. And the point of pastoring that God, you know, appointed pastors, so it wasn't my idea. It really wasn't, you know. It wasn't my idea. God says, hey, I'm appointing you this. And he says the gifts and calling are without repentance. And really, I believe I operate in several of the gifting of offices. You know, I can pastor, but I am really a teacher evangelist. I have such a heart for the lost. Such a heart for those that have not come to the full knowledge of Christ. Although Christ has forgiven the whole world. The whole world's already forgiven. It's just a matter of them receiving it. Right? Y'all understand that, right? When Jesus died, it was enough. It was enough for the whole world. He has really saved the whole world. They just don't know it yet. Most of them, right? So it's our job. We have the ministry of reconciliation, to bring people back into what they should know. And most of them, you know, they already know there's a God. I don't really believe there's any such thing as an atheist, because God put it in every one of us. Hello? Y'all here this morning? So, you know, a lot of people don't understand that, but Jesus' blood was enough. When he died, he died. He died for everyone. It was completed. Everybody's sin is already forgiven. Sin never sends anybody to hell, because sin's already forgiven. Sin never sends any. Well, isn't that strange? Boy, that's a strange doctrine, isn't it? What's what the Bible says? Jesus forgave us, all of the world. He didn't just love part of the people. He loved everyone and forgave everyone. And Jesus forgave everyone, and everyone's already forgiven. They just don't and haven't received it yet. Wow. How cool is that? Isn't that great? Anybody believe that besides Pastor? You know, two of you? Three of you? Wow. I'm telling you, God's forgave the whole world. It's a done deal. Sin is not the issue. What is the issue then, Pastor? Belief. Belief is the issue. It isn't sin. Sin's been dealt with, done, gone, done away with. Well, people still sin. Yeah, they still sin. Right. Then there's repercussions to that, because you can be stupid and, you know, still do stupid things. And in this life, you will receive. You know, in this life, from doing stupid things. You go out and rob a bank, that's a stupid thing, right? And you might get shot, and you might get killed, and you will probably go to jail. You will pay a price in this life. But God's already forgiven you for that, stupid. Amen. And, you know, I was reading a scripture about pastors every day out of Hebrews, because we're going to talk a little bit out of Hebrews this morning and the challenges that pastors have and what we have to go through. And a lot of people think we just teach once on Sunday and eat chicken the rest of the week. fried chicken at that, you know. So, but I wanted to read this scripture out of Hebrews 13, 17, because it's a great word, and it really shows what a pastor, who I think a pastor is, and what a pastor does, and what his responsibilities are as a pastor. It says to continue, I'm reading out of the International Standard Version here, so I love this way it reads. It says, continue to follow and be submissive to your leaders. Now, what does submissive mean? What does that word mean? Does that mean that, you know, you have the right to pound somebody over the head? No, that word does not mean that at all. That word means to get up under somebody and make them better. That's why the Bible says, you know, husbands submit yourself, or wives submit yourself to your husbands. Sometimes it is the other way around, right? Marriage is not just a 50-50 deal, guys. I'm just wanting to let you know that. But that word submissive means to get up under and do what? Get up under and do what? What does a wife do? The wife gets up under the husband and makes him the very best he can be. So one of the jobs of the pastor, you know, is the fact that I want to make you the very best that you can be. Right? So that's part of my job. Anybody would agree with that? Who wants to be better? Me. I want to grow in the Lord and the knowledge of Him in every area of my life. And He says, be submissive to your leaders since they are watching over your souls, watching over your mind, will, your emotions, that part of you that is your personality, that part of you. I'm watching over you. I'm watching out for you. That's part of my job. As those who will have to give a word of explanation. I am accountable to give a word of explanation to God someday about you. Oh, hello. Wow. Isn't that awesome? As those who will have to give a word of explanation, by doing this, you will be letting them carry out their duties joyfully. Isn't that awesome? And not with grief, for that would be harmful for you. So one of the things that the joy of a pastor is I get to, you know, pastor people and watch out for them and, you know, and watch out for their souls and, you know, just love them. And, you know, I have a responsibility, the Bible says, because I have to give a report, an account at some point. And he says, hey, let's not do it with grief. Let's not be pastoring with grief. You know, I don't want to be carrying grief. I want to be carrying joy in my life. A pastor preaches much better when there's joy going on, right? Amen. Now, you know, and you guys are a joy to pastor. That's what's so cool. Amen, that you're a joy to pastor. I mean, there's some places, I went out in when I was in a denomination that sent you out to itinerate for a place, and I thought, oh, Jesus, I would never want to go there. You know, just full of religion and all these things. But God says, hey, you know what? Don't be full of religion. Be full of His love for people. Not religion, amen. Religion will kill you. You know, and when you're watching out for somebody's soul, you're doing it out of love. You want them to grow in God and not grow in their emotions. Amen? Not be an unstable Christian, but really to grow in the Spirit, in what God has for them, in His Word, right? So, you know, I was thinking, I have been in ministry for over 40-something years. Turn to somebody and say, that's a long time. Wow. I was thinking about that. 40. I think I started when I was 17. I preached my first sermon December 7th, 1971. The year I graduated, I preached my first sermon. I remember that. And at 17 years old, I've been in it for a long, long time. And, you know, I've learned some interesting things about Christians and what they believe. And unfortunately, one of the things that many Christians do is they never let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. Hello? They never let the Word get in the way of what they really believe. So, you know, there's all types of things that they believe, but they're living their life primarily out of the old covenant instead of out of a new relationship with Christ. And churches are built and denominations are built teaching people to live out of this old covenant or have a great mixture of both going on in their life. So they're over in the old for a little bit, then they're over in the new, and then they bring in their philosophies. what their philosophies are, not comparing it to the Word of God and not wanting to be correct in God's Word, but it's just their philosophies because, you know, that's what somebody else has said. That's when someone else has told me, and that's what someone else has taught. And you know what? I've been guilty of teaching some things that I should have never taught. Really, because it sounded good at the moment. At the moment, it sounded real good, and I'd get up and I'd preach it the next Sunday, and it was a lie from hell. But it sounded good. You know, I was stupid. I didn't know. You know, I was young. But thank God for his grace. And I think God gave grace to those that heard me then. You know, in fact, I know he did. They needed a lot of grace. So, you know, and but all, you know, so much of our modern day church and Christendom is really built on this mixture of old and new. In fact, a lot of people approach God from this Old Testament standpoint. They approach God in their worship from Old Testament ideas and philosophy. They approach God in their prayers from Old Testament idea and philosophy. They are trying to appease an angry God. They're trying to see if I can get in this right position, then God will hear my prayer. You know, they don't realize, man, that everything has already been done and completed. And Jesus said, it is finished, it's a done deal, and it's not about you, you know, trying to get into some type of position. It's about you receiving everything he's already given you in the spirit realm and just releasing that by faith and by renewing your mind to God's word. The Christian life is not a difficult, hard thing. In fact, it should be the easiest thing going on. He said, listen, my burden is what? Easy. My yoke is what? Light. You know, my burden's light. My yoke is easy. He says it's a very simple thing, but we've made it so hard. Religion has made it very difficult because we view God as somewhere off in the distance. We've got to get to his attention. And I tell you, people work very hard at this. People pray loud. In fact, I know people that change their tone of voice to a King James voice when they pray, Thou God. Thou, O God, I love this echo in here. Thou, O God, will you please, Lord God, thy servant needs you. It's like he's out there. And really, what the Bible says is he's right here. He's right here. And most of the worship is really done out of the flesh, and our prayers out of the flesh. Because the flesh is effort and work. That's what the flesh really is. The carnal mind is, in fact, enmity against God. The flesh is effort, and the flesh is work, and the flesh is stress, and the flesh will make you do all types of things. I've seen people jump and run and carry on and just trying to get God's attention. And God said, look, man, he's right up there with Jesus saying, hey, check them out, man. Look at that, man. Hey, you see what he did? Isn't that funny? That is hysterical. Don't they know that I'm right there with them? Don't they know I said I'd never leave them, forsake them? What are they trying to do? Jesus sitting there, man, I don't know, God. It's just like, wow. It's kind of entertaining, though, isn't it? And the Holy Spirit's just sitting there going, God is not out there. God is right here. If you're a believer, he lives in you. Isn't it interesting that Jesus told the woman at the well, he said, those that worship him, he said, now is the time that those that worship him in spirit and in truth. You have a spirit. You are a spirit being. And God says, now's the time. It's not out of the effort. It's just out of the spirit that's within you and the word of God that's within you. You know, it's not out of this Old Testament concept. It is a new covenant thing. Amen? So we are new covenant people. A recent Barna survey reveals that for the first time, most Americans now depend upon their own logic, tradition, or experience to formulate their beliefs. There's a lot of that in Charismata and Pentecostal. It's the experience I had. You know, I had pepperoni pizza, and I saw God in this dream, and, you know, all these different things. You know, and there's nothing wrong. God gives us dreams. God has all these things. Nothing wrong with the spirit-filled life. In fact, you should be Spirit-filled. Amen. God wants you to be Spirit-filled. But there's a lot of voodoo out there. Christian voodoo. God didn't want you to be in Christian voodoo. Ooh. Well, I'm just teaching. Y'all hearing me this morning? It's amazing. The result is what Jesus spoke of is this. Look it over in Mark 7:13. Look what he says here. This is so interesting. I want you guys to get this morning. What's happened? Mark, are you there, brother? You are destroying the word of God through your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many other things like that. Another, I think the King James says, we have made the word of God of no effect. It's become no effect. Our traditions that have passed down, people say, why isn't this working for me? Why aren't things happening in my life? Why am I not seeing God's favor in my life? Why am I having all this struggle? Because our traditions of what we have thought who God is and put him in this Old Testament box mixed with a little new has caused the word of God to be of none effect to us. Wow, that's good. Most Christians today aren't aware that their old-time religion is polluted with many, many traditions that void God's power in their life. Oh, I am really preaching this morning, I can tell. It may come to a complete shock that believers, that there are traditions instituted that are not instituted by God that can make his word none effect. But it's true. It's true. So, you know, God's word is his word. And God's word works for us. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. So the Old Testament was legalistic and based on your performance. The New Covenant, on the other hand, is a covenant of grace based on his performance. Wow, what a difference. It's based on what Christ did instead of what you do. It's not about what you do, but it's about what he's done. Amen. That is almost too good to be true. But it is true. It's based on what Christ has done. And people are continuing to try to do to get what Christ has already done. Hallelujah. So the book of Hebrews that we were just in was written specifically to contrast this, because Hebrews was written to Jewish believers who still had this Old Testament concept of God. So the writer of Hebrews had to come along and say, no, let me tell you who God is and what he's done for you. I want to give you a clear picture of the new covenant is what Hebrews is talking about. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 through 23. And I believe this summarizes the whole book of Hebrews right here. It's a great verse, some great verses. So you can just put up in the King James, that's fine. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws where? Where? Into their hearts and where? And in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities I will remember every year. Once a month. Every day. How often is he going to remember your sins? You see, folks, if you still think that you're not forgiven, that's going to hinder your relationship with God. If you still think that you're not totally forgiven, then you're going to have a real hard time believing God for what he said, and a real hard time receiving everything that God's given you. He said our sins he will remember no more. Turn around to somebody and say, so why should you? If God doesn't, why should you? Your sins I will remember no more. Look at this. Go on down. Now, where remission of sins these is, there is no more offering for sin. There's no more offering. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, his blood took care of everything. Go on down. By a new and what? By a new. Everybody say new. By a new and dead way? No, by a new and a living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. His flesh given on the cross opened up a brand new covenant. His blood was enough. Hallelujah. He is the high priest over the house of God. Let's go on down. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in what? Some assurance, partial assurance. Maybe God will hear me. If I stand on my head, if I look like this, if I shake all around, God will hear me. No, I have full assurance now. Full assurance of faith. Faith, what is faith? Faith is that positive response to what God has already said is provided for you in the new covenant. So now I have full assurance that God said my provisions would be made, taken care of. I have full assurance that God says I can walk in health because he's my healer. I have full assurance I have the fruit of the Spirit operating in my life. I have self-control. I have long-suffering. I have peace. I have joy. Hallelujah. I have love. I have all these things operating in me fully because I have a full assurance that Jesus was enough. And if Jesus is enough, then it is enough. So I'm not struggling to get something that I already have. I already have this Bible. I've got it. I don't have to struggle to get it. It is mine. I can open it up. I can use it. I can read it. It is mine. I'm not struggling to get what I've already got. I don't even have to believe that I got it. I got it. It's mine. I just have to receive it and open it up. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. Under the old covenant, sacrifice was offered every time sin was committed. It sounds like most churches today. Most churches preach more on sin than they do Jesus. I mean, they preach more on sin than Jesus. Man, you walk out feeling so condemned because we've all missed it. Some of you blew it this morning. Don't look at me pious. You came to church, you got mad, you got upset already before you got here. You had to get through worship just to get in a better frame of mind. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm better now. I can receive. Amen. Right? Your soul was, out here somewhere. Your mind was not renewed to what was going on. You flipped off somebody before you got here to church this morning. I had road rage, carrying on like a wild person, arguing with your husband, arguing with your wife. Just, being carnal, But you got here and you went, oh. I'm so spiritual. Isn't it amazing how people put it on? God wants you to be real. Hello, if you had a bad day, you had a bad day. Tell God he knows already. So, he knows about you. He loves you the way you are. That's what's so incredible about God. He loves you the way you are. Some of you are hearing this for the first time because you've been caught up in religion and all this stuff. But I'm telling you, God loves you the way you are. Amen. He's got a great life for you. He can renew your mind. You can renew your mind to the Word of God. He can help you renew your mind. You can be transformed, amen, by the Word of God. Praise God. And when you understand how much God loves you and how good a God he is, man, it just opens up your eyes and you're able to receive everything from him because you're not trying to avoid him any longer. That's what Adam did. He tried to avoid God. That's what Arthur taught about last week. He hid from God. Where art thou, Adam? Like he didn't know. He was hiding. Why was he hiding? Because he knew he sinned. And people who sin, they go off and hide somewhere. But when you know your sin's already forgiven, you can approach God boldly. Wow, what assurance. That's what he says in this verse. Having a heart in full assurance of faith. Faith is so vitally important, man. When you don't think God loves you, you don't have faith. When you think God's against you, you don't have faith. When you think you've sinned against God, you don't have faith any longer. And faith activates everything that grace has provided. And the devil will surely beat you up. If the devil doesn't beat you up, your own conscience will beat you up. And I believe a lot of sickness today is because of condemnation. People have been so condemned by religion and by churches and by preachers that they haven't really understood God's full love for them, unconditional. And so they go through life with all this guilt and all this condemnation. But Jesus said, I've come to set you free. And when you know the truth will do what? The truth will set you free in your soulish realm. Amen. And you don't have to be under condemnation and guilt. Doesn't matter if you've been married 100 times. God loves you. Doesn't matter if you've been through 100 divorces. God loves you. Doesn't matter if you're a homosexual. God loves you. God has healing for you. Amen. It's true. I am preaching it. Wow. We're all caught up in all this guilt and condemnation of old covenant stuff. So once a year, the high priest would go in and offer up a sacrifice. You know, every time they missed it, they had to offer up a sacrifice. But the ultimate sacrifice has been offered up. Look at Hebrews 9:8-12. Hebrews 9:8-12. The ultimate sacrifice has been given. His name is Jesus. Wow. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. It couldn't make you perfect. You still had this conscience dealing with you, right? Which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, aren't you glad for the but? I'm so glad for the but there. Amen. But Christ being come as a high priest of what? Bad things, horrible things, judgment, outpouring of his wrath upon you. No, good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not as this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal, guys, forever. Can you have confidence in that blood today to say, man, that is enough. Hallelujah. Neither by the blood of goats. For if the blood of bulls and goats and of ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth of the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Woo! Dead works, man. Get out of the dead works. Get into the living work. Give it into the living, out of the dead. Praise God forevermore. Yet today, the old covenant thinking is still prevalent in the body of Christ. Average Christians have been taught and believe, listen to me, that their sins they committed before they were born again were all forgiven, but the moment they were saved, but they believe the sins they commit either after salvation have to come under the blood and be confessed daily. That's what they believe. And the extreme legalists believe that if a Christian does not confess their sins, they're going straight to hell. Well, you missed it today. You're going straight to hell if you don't confess it. Oh, the less extreme... Less extreme believe that at the very best, the person will lose their fellowship with God if they don't confess their sin. You know what I say to both of those? Wrong. Man, wrong question, wrong answer, right? Wow. Hebrews 10:10. I'm just going through Hebrews, guys. Look at this. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once a year. One day out of the week, just Sunday. Just Sunday, you're sanctified. Once and how often? Once and for, when Jesus did it, he did it. He did it. He did it. So what do you do when you mess up? What do you say? Thank you, Jesus, I'm forgiven. Thank you, Lord, I'm forgiven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You forgave me all. Because he forgave yesterday, today, and forever. You got to remember, he died before you were even born, so you better hope that he forgave your future sins. Right? Hello? You better hope that he has. Oh, man. Look at verse 14. Drop on down to verse 14 here. Look what this says. Y'all still with me this morning? For by one offering he has... Turn to somebody and say, you're perfect. You're perfect. Oh, you know, Pastor, now hold on a second. I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. Well, in your flesh and in your thinking and in your soul realm, that is true. That is an ever-continuing transformation to God's word and what he says. But in your spirit, in your born-again spirit, you are perfect. Wow. You are still conforming to his word in your mind, your soul, and your will, and your emotions to what his word has said. Hello? We're transforming by the renewing of our mind to the word of God. That's what we do. This morning, you've been transformed. You've sat here, and effortlessly, if you've listened with an open heart and mind, you have been transformed. Wasn't hard, wasn't difficult. You just sat down, you're just listening and saying, wow, I'm getting this. This is so good. The gospel is so good. The gospel is almost too good to be true good news. It's so awesome. Amen. Religion is falling off of you. Chains of religion, changes. I've got to do something to appease God. No, Jesus did something. He died for you. Man, y'all still here? Amen. Jesus paid the price for all sin. There's nothing left to pay. You know, David, I'm going to give you a scripture because here's where most people live. David did not have this new type of relationship, King David. He was living out of the old covenant. And I want you to turn to Psalm 51, 10 through 12. Because here's where most people live when it comes to repentance. This is what's going on. All right, listen to this prayer of David. Listen to what he says. Create in me a clean heart. There's been many songs. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. There's a popular song several years ago made from this verse of Scripture. David said, create in me a clean heart. This is before the covenant. David was still under the old covenant. He was under a covenant, but the old covenant, before the new covenant of Christ. Oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Right? Cast me not away from your presence, oh Lord. I used to sing that song. It used to be a song I would sing that had to deal with this verse. And renew a right spirit within me. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That is for the most part where most Christianity lives today. Can anybody say amen to that? They live in that place of condemnation. This is when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And he was repenting before God, and he said to God, God, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Create in me a clean spirit, O Lord. Cast me not away from your presence. That's where most people live today. And God says, hold on a second. My son's covered everything for you. Every sin that was ever committed, Jesus has died and bore it on the cross. That's why he looked like a piece of raw hamburger meat on the cross. He wasn't this little picture of a spike here and a spike here and a pierce here. No, he looked like raw. He was marred more than any man, the Bible says. For you and me, he took that sin. The whole sin of the world was laid upon him. The total wrath of God against sin was paid at the cross of Calvary for you. That's how much God loves you. And David, before the cross in the old covenant, was repenting, but most people take this and use it as a New Testament prayer. Oh, God, don't take your spirit away from me. He said, hey, boy, I said, I'd never leave you or forsake you. What's wrong with you? I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you in your mess. I love you in your mess. Jesus proved that in the woman caught in the act of adultery. The guys gathered around here getting ready to stone her because the Old Testament says you got to stone her. And Jesus just wrote down, started writing on the ground, and there she was. She's caught in the middle of the act. Well, it takes two to do adultery, right? Not just one. So I'm figuring some of them guys out there, one of them was probably one of them with her, right? Just a thought. He sat down, he began to write. I really believe what he was writing. And then we had a discussion the day at the car lot with this. The guy said, oh, I think he was writing his their names. I said, no, he wasn't writing their names. What? No, he wasn't writing their names. You know what he's writing? The only time God wrote with his finger was one time. That's when he wrote the commandments. He was writing the commandments. And it said that they began to drop their stones and walk away, the youngest to the eldest, because they were all guilty of one of those commandments. And then Jesus looked at the woman and said, woman, where is thine accusers? Jesus said, she said, woman, where is thine accusers? She says, I have not. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Whoa! Caught in adultery. Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go thy way and sin no more. He gave her the power of no condemnation. When you're walking under the power of no condemnation, you have the power to go and sin no more. But when you completely are condemning yourself, you're bound to repeat stupid things over and over again. Because your soul's messed up. They hadn't received everything that God has for it. It was quiet in this Presbyterian church. Praise God. Amen. And so that's how most people pray. However, for us in the New Testament, to pray that same prayer would be an insult to Jesus. It's an insult to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, what does it say? 2 Corinthians 5:17, some of you can repeat this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is what? What passed away? All things. And what is new? All things are become new. Everything has become new. Well, look at Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 1:13. Hallelujah. In whom we also trusted after that we heard. Ye heard the truth. I like, you know, King James there. Ye heard the truth. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I like the ye, man. Yo, you were sealed. Your spirit has been vacuum sealed with the Holy Spirit and salvation. Your spirit is perfect, vacuum sealed with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Man, your born again spirit is brand new, vacuum sealed. I love that, man. And he promised in Hebrews 13:5, he would never leave us or forsake us. Galatians 5:22 says, now we have a permanent peace. We have a permanent peace. Wow. But most Christians pray and say the exact opposite of just these scriptures. They do. They don't understand. Therefore, most Christians aren't bold in their relationship with Christ. They approach the Lord out of fear of punishment and rejection instead of out of a new covenant. Amen. Look at Hebrews 10:22 again. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, right? Look at Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a what? True heart and what? Full assurance of what? Faith. That's how we approach God. Amen? We approach God out of that full assurance of faith. We can come in his presence with boldness or with confidence. Hebrews 10:19. We have confidence now. We have boldness. Amen. He says, don't cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Man, we've got confidence now when we come into his presence. He's with us. He's in us every day. He's walking with us. Amen. That is powerful if we understand that. There are not many people who have strong confidence in their belief in Jesus. Be one of those. Amen. Be one of those. Look at Matthew 9:17. I'm going to close here in just a moment. All right, Matthew 9:17. Look at this. What did Jesus say? Matthew 9:17. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into what? and both are preserved. If you take the old and put it into the new, guess what's going to happen? Or take the new and put it into the old, it's going to blow up on you. Amen. But you got a new covenant with God, a new relationship with God. Amen. And that's what we do. We have a new covenant and we have a new relationship with God. Ephesians 4:24. Look what he says. Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created where? In righteousness and what? That's who you are now. And then you start identifying with who you are. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's who I am. I am the healed of the Lord in Christ Jesus. I am prosperous in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. Amen. That's who I am. That's what I'm identifying with. I'm not identifying with my old. I'm identifying with the new. And the new says I am new. Amen. The new says I have self-control. The new says I have peace. I am confident of this. Amen. Wow. You know, when a person says, I haven't been praying enough, reading my Bible enough, they're not worshiping God in the Spirit. Mm-mm. They're allowing condemnation to come into them. They aren't worshiping God in spirit and truth, because the truth says it's already done. The truth says, amen. Listen, guys, we still pray, but most people pray wrong prayers, but we still pray. Most of our prayers should be thanksgiving, not just asking God to do something that he's already done. Our prayer should be a thanksgiving prayer. Thank you, Lord. If somebody gives you a gift, what comes out of your mouth? It should be what? Thank you. If God gave you the gift of righteousness, what should you be saying to God? Thank. If God gave you healing already, provided for it on the cross, should you be asking him for it? Or should you be thanking him for it? Thanking him for it. Man. What a radical difference living for God would be if people would simply understand what God has done for them. And when you understand what God's done for you, it frees you up. And man, you become so attractive. Most Christians look like they've been baptized with prune juice. I'm out to get you, my pretty. That's what they look like. You know, God wants some joy going on in your life. And then you get way on the other side and people get the voodoo going on. Don't be a spooky pookie. People can't relate out there in the world to spooky pookie. They think you're nuts. They think this person has fallen off the wagon. If that's what Christianity is, I don't want anything to do with it. And then you get on the other hand, you get on this religious side and you get all this crankiness about you. There's got to be a balance, church. Hello? Well, just, you know, that's pastor. So, instead, people have allowed an evil conscience empowered by the law of the old covenant to condemn them. They are looking through the eyes of the flesh and soul instead of the spirit. It's time to stop mixing the old and the new and start living in a new living way. So, you know, I believe that this word will help you today if you receive it. Amen. Receive it with joy. Receive it saying, man, praise God, I am free from religion. I am in with Jesus, and Jesus is in with me. He has provided all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything's been provided for me. What he says is just come and dine. Come and feast. That's what he told the disciples. Come and dine. Everything's prepared for you. He's prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runs over. David had a glimpse into the future. When he wrote Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in lack. Wow. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I've got plenty of food. He restores my soul, my mind, my will, and emotions. Amen. Wow, my cup is continually running over with his goodness. He wants me to just stay right there who I am. Acknowledge every day that the Lord is with me. Amen. Every day I get up, thank you, Lord, you're living inside of me. Thank you, Lord, Oh, you know, that pain has to go in the name of Jesus because I am the healed of the Lord. Amen. I receive my healing. Hey, I've got discipline in my life. I've got self-control. I can get up and exercise. I can do these things because now this is the temple. This building is not, most people say, there's the church. No, you are the church. You are the temple of God. He's living in you. It's not a building made with hands. It's you, baby. You are. You got God. You got the God of this universe living in you. Whoa! God in you. The hope of glory. Jesus living in you. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Stand this morning. Hallelujah. He's alive and well too. He is more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you even ask or think. Amen. That's the God living in you. God's got good things for you. God wants you out there reconciling this world into himself. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation, telling them the good news that God's not mad at them. God needs some of you running for office. Well, that's quiet. He does. Some of you born-again believers know God's grace, need to be running for president of the United States. Amen. At least county commissioner, right? Start somewhere, right? Amen. God loves you today. He does. He wants you showing up on that job in the morning with a great attitude. Thank you, Lord, you've given me this job. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're providing for my family. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Man, every day with Jesus is a great day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands to him this morning. I want to just pronounce a blessing over you. I know you're already blessed, but just want to speak over your life. Father, thank you for your word this morning. You are our healer. You are our provider. Thank you, Lord. God, you care for us today. Lord, you never leave us or forsake us. God, your love is unconditional in our life today. Lord, we thank you, God, that you're blessing your people. Favor showing up on their life every day because of you. God, they are favored. They are loved this day. Amen. They are the healed of the Lord. Peace is operating in their soul. Peace is operating in their mind. Joy unspeakable and full of glory is in their heart today. Amen. They've got a bright future and a great hope today, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, that we are forgiven totally of every sin, past, present, and future. Thank you, Lord. We are saved by you today, by your grace, by your amazing love towards us today. And we call it done and finished in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God some praise today. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody this morning, greet them, say, you are loved today. Amen. Come back next Sunday, invite somebody with you. Praise the Lord. It's going to be an awesome time.